All right, Timose, let's begin. Let's begin. So we begin the new parent today. Taf of Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. Bima Isha Yotza. So the Mishnah now says the following. Bima Isha Yotza. Or Bima Ina Yotza. What can a woman go out with on Shabbos and what can't she go out with on Shabbos? Now look at the opening Rashi. So Rashi says, Bima Isha Yotza. Dehavi Tachshit Velo Masui. What we're going to see is the following. That if something is called a tachshit, tachshit literally means like an ornament or a piece of jewelry, then halacha lemaaseh, a woman is permitted to go out with it on Shabbos. Right? However, if it's not called a tachshit, or it's not, for example, called a malbush, an article of clothing, then it's called a masui. Then it's called a burden, and she may not go out with it on Shabbos. However, we're going to see something else, says Rashi. V'ikad da'avi tachshit, v'gazre be'rabbanan dilma shofa umechavya lechaberka chashivuso. However, there's going to be one exception to this, which is the following. That we're going to see there are certain things that are in fact called a tachshit, and therefore technically speaking should be wearable into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but are not. Why? Because they're things that a woman often removes to go ahead and show her friends. And so there's a concern that if she goes out with these particular items on Shabbos, what will happen? She'll go ahead, she'll take it off, show her friend, and end up carrying it down at Amos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So Rashi frames for us the discussion. Anything, of course, that's called, anything that's called a masui, a burden she can't go out with. If it's a tachshit, an ornament, or a malbush, article of clothing, she can go out with it. The only exception are things that she would be prone to take off and show her friends. Then there's a concern that if we let her go out with it, she'll come to carry down Amos Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So therefore, says the Mishnah, lo b'chutei tzemer, lo b'chutei pishtan. She may not go out with chutei tzemer or chutei pishtan. Now remember, what are these things? So we'll just literally translate them. And then Emir Zashem will explain exactly what they are in the Gemara. So chutei tzemer literally means strands of wool or strands of linen. So the Gemara says, Rashi already says over here, and not with the strap that goes around her head. So Rashi says, what's the common denominator here? Shakolas bahen se'ara. These are all things that a woman uses to braid her hair. Only uses to braid her hair. Okay. Velo titbal bahen, similarly, she may not immerse in the mikvah with these things in her hair. Ad shetirafet. Until she loosens them. So the idea is, because why? In order for a tefillah to be valid, so the water has to be able to touch every part of the woman's body, including, again, her hair. The problem is if she's wearing these things in her hair and they're tied very tight, then it could prevent the water from getting in. So therefore, the Mishnah says that she could go ahead, and she doesn't have to fully take them out when she goes to the mikvah. However, she must loosen them so that the water could get through to her hair. Velo b'totefes. She may not wear a totefes out on Shabbos. Again, we'll see again what that means. Velo bisarvitin. And not with the sarvitin. Okay. See, the Rashi points out over here, although he doesn't translate totefes and sarvitin, what he does say is, mefarish b'gemara, v'chashuvin hein, v'chashinan dilma shulfa u'mechuyi l'chaverta. So according to Rashi, the particular issue over here is, that's what may happen. These are important items, and she may take them off and show them to her friend. So again, so therefore the totefes and sarvitin, which again the Gemara is not, the Mishnah is not yet defined, are important chasheva tachshitin that she'll take off and show to her friend. Fine. So the Gemara says the following. Bizman she'inon tefurin. But that's only true if they are not tied on. Rashi says, Bizman she'in tefurin, ima savcha, shekorin, okay, aval tefurin leka lamechash lach vuyeh, so we'll see later on that the only time that the tefes and the sarvitin are problematic is if they are not sewn into her hat. We'll see that women used to wear like a woolen type of cap to cover their hair. They usually wore something on top of that also, but the idea is if it was sewed into the cap, then they're not going to come to take it off, because the only way for them to show it to their friend would be to take off the cap. And a woman's not going to uncover her hair in public. So therefore, that wouldn't be a problem. Velo b'kovel, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And similarly, a woman can't go out with a kovel in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Again, we'll see what all these things mean in the Gemara. Velo b'ir shel zahav. And she can't go out with an ir shel zahav. Now, ir shel zahav, we'll see. Actually, alright, look at Rashi for just a moment. Aval shari. Shemer Targilam Birsh Sarabim, Bechad Gzerihi. So all Rashi's pointing out over here is it's interesting that the Mishnah says that when it comes to the kovel, which we'll see, we'll just define it as a cap for now, when it comes to the cap, she can't wear that into her sarabim, but she can wear it into her chatzah. We'll explain why that distinction in just a little bit. Velo bi'ir shel zahav, she can't wear an ir shel zahav. So again, we'll see also this is some type of ornament that was worn on a woman's head. Velo bi'katla, and she can't wear a katla. So this is actually interesting. A katla, we'll see. Katla literally means in Aramaic, it means to kill someone. So we'll see that a katla is a choker. A choker necklace. Velo bi'katla, velo bi'nizamim, not with nose rings. Velo bi'tabas, she'in ha'le'achosam. Nor may she go out with a ring that does not have a seal on it. Velo b'machat, nor can she go out with a needle that does not have a hole in it. Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Chosam tsura lachtom ba'igeres. This refers to an image, a seal, that people would use to go ahead and put a seal on a letter. The O called davar sagar. Right, fine. So, below the machashen rakuva, vim yatsisa eina chayev eschatos. And if she were to go ahead and go out with any of these items, she would not be chayev eschatos. So, also, what the Mishnah is saying is clearly everything we're talking about over here is the Rabbanon. Because technically speaking, if a woman were to wear any of these things out into Rosh Sarabim, they would have the categorization of a tachshit, of an ornament, and then from the oraisa, she would not be chayev. It's only midrabanan that it's an issue, because Chazal were concerned. Again, we'll see, there are different reasons for concern, but the overarching concern is that she may come to carry these particular items in Rosh Sarabim. So Mishnah just says he shouldn't do it, but if he did it, obviously not chayev achatos. Says the Gemara. We're going to see. Says the Gemara. Tvila man dikar shma. So the Gemara says, the first question the Gemara asks is, why does the Mishnah bring up tevila, immersion in the mikvah? Remember how the Mishnah read? The Mishnah said that a woman can't go out with strings of wool, with strings of linen, or with the ritzua, with the strap around her head. Right? Then the Mishnah said, and she can't immerse in the mikvah with them until she loosens them. So the Gemara says, why are you, this is Shabbos, why are you bringing in the mikvah over here? So the Gemara says something very interesting. What the Mishnah is talking about, the Mishnah is giving us a reason. What does that mean? Matam lo teze isha, lo bechute tzemer, velo bechute pich. Why can't a woman go out on Shabbos with strings of wool and strings of linen in her hair? Why can't she do that? Mipnei sha'amru chachamim b'chol, lo titbo behen ad she'terafe. Because remember, these are the very things that, let's say, during the week, if a woman were to go to the mikvah, now again, this especially works well according to Rashi's approach, although Tosfos argues. According to Rashi, these threads are used to braid a woman's hair. So they're mamish intertwined in the hair. So let's go, Tosfos disagrees, but we're going to go with Rashi for today. So the Gemara says like this, because these are the types of items, these strings of linen and strings of wool, that when a woman goes to the mikvah during the week, she cannot immerse until she loosens them. She has to loosen them to allow the water to touch every part of her hair. Now, V'chevan dibichol lo titbol behen ashet rafim b'shabes lo teitze. Since during the week, in order for her to go to the mikvah, she'd have to loosen the strands, she'd have to loosen the strings, therefore, we don't allow her to wear them out on Shabbos. Why? Dilma misrami lo tvila shal mitzvah, because it may happen that she'll have to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. Right, remember, we do a tevila bismana. If the right timing for tevila comes on Shabbos, a woman does go to the mikvah on Shabbos. V'shar yaluhu, and therefore a woman may come to loosen these strands, these strings, as is obligatory before immersing in the mikvah. V'asi la'asuyinhu dalet amos birshus harabim. And she will come to carry it dalet amos in rishus harabim. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the reason the Mishnah brought in the halacha of tevila is because it is the tevila concern that prohibits her wearing the strings on Shabbos. That since, again, because when a woman goes to the mikvah, she has to loosen these strings, therefore we're concerned that if it ends up that she has to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, she'll loosen them, and she may do more than loosen them, she may actually take them out, and she may end up carrying them dalet amos on Shabbos. That's why she can't wear it on Shabbos.
The mikvah is not rishus hayachid.
Coming home. Correct. So Rav Kana asked the following shaila from Rav. Tichi chalilta mai. Look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Tichi chalilta sharsheros shalchutin chalulos vaagulos. So literally translated, these are chains made of chutin, made of different strings of fabric that ultimately are circular and hollow. Now we'll say, what's the chap over here? The idea is that these are items also that are used for a woman to tie up her hair, but unlike the chutin that are tied tight in the hair, these are loose. So let's say, for example, with these type of items, a woman would be able to go into the mikvah with them and would not have to remove them or loosen them because they're already loose enough to allow the water to touch every part of her hair. So the Gemara says, "My." So what would be the halacha concerning those items on Shabbos? Rashi says, "Mahu likloa bahen sara to braid her hair." Velotzeis b'Shabbos she'eno yochol lemoschan uletchosan ala sabi chazaka v'hanayim nichnasin ba umiboyle mihavi chatzitza velotetei bahen b'Shabbos b'shum gzeres tefilas mitzvah. So the Gemara is essentially asking is the following: these tichi chalilta, which in essence are circular, are hollow, fit loosely against the hair, can't really be made any tighter. So the Gemara is asking an interesting question: Could a woman be tovel? Could a woman immerse in the mikvah with these items? If the answer to that is yes, then what? And interestingly enough, according to our approach right now, then that would allow her to wear it out on Shabbos, because the major issue with these particular hair adornments is that we're only concerned about her wearing something that if she were to need to go to the mikvah, she'd have to take out. But apparently, as soon as she'd be able to leave in, we're not worried about that. We would allow her to wear that out on Shabbos. So Amarlei, so the Gemara says, Amarlei, Arya Ka'amrit, Kol Shehu Arig Lo Gazru. So the Gemara says the following, take a look at Rashi, Kol Shehu Arig Lo Gazru, Lo Tzeis Bo B'Shabbos, Dele Inyon Chatzitza, Lo Chayitz. So the Gemara says, so he answers, remember, this is Rav Kahana asking Rav. So Rav answers, look, Ari Kamrit, this is a woven item, and anything that's woven, Chazal, we're not gozer, because the assumption is that because it's woven, it can't be fastened so tightly to the woman's hair, because that it won't be a chatzitza, and because that she can wear it on Shabbos, Chazal, we're not gozer on that. Itmar Nami, Amar Rav Huna Braid Rav Yoshua, Kol Shehu Arig Lo Gazru. So too, again, the Braise says, Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Yoshua, said, anything that's a woven material, Chazal were not gozer. Chazal were not gozer. What does it mean, Chazal were not gozer? That Chazal were not gozer that she can't wear it out on Shabbos, i.e. that she can wear it out on Shabbos, because since, again, it would not adhere tightly to her hair, it would not be a chatzitza for mikvah. Once it's not a chatzitza for mikvah, we're not worried that she may come to take it out and carry it, and therefore she can wear it out on Shabbos. The Iga, the Amri, others say differently, Amr Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua, Chazina la'achvasi de'lo kaptan alayhu. It's interesting, Rav Ozai. So now this Ike de Amri is not arguing on the bottom line, it's just giving a different version. That Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yoshua, said, I saw my sisters that they were not makbid to remove these items before immersing in the mikvah. Look at Rashi, la'achvasi de'lo kaptan alayhu. Litlan Meroshan. I saw that my sisters were not makbid to remove this from their hair. Kishen rochtzos becham. I'm sorry, not lavdafka mikvah. When they were bathing. Alma eili buhumaya shapir afilu lahanoas rechitza. V'chevan shekin leinyan tvila nami lo tzrichan la'atiran. So we'll say in this version, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua is essentially saying the same thing, that a woman is not makbid to go in and take this out before immersing. Just here he's not talking about a mikvah, he's talking about bathing. So he said, I saw that my sisters, when they were preparing themselves to bathe, did not take these items out of, they were not makbid on these items. So the Gemara says, Ma'ika bein hachlishna or bein hachlishna. So here's what's interesting about Zayn, is that both of these statements seem to be saying the same thing. In the first version, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua says that anything that's a woven item, by definition, is not a chatzitza for mikvah. If it's not a chatzitza for mikvah, then what? Then you could wear it out on Shabbos. In the second version, you have Rav Huna Brei Rav Yoshua saying, I saw that my sisters were never makbid on it. Now, the bottom line seems to be the same thing, which is what? That it's not a chatzitza for mikvah, and therefore, halacha l'maaseh, you could wear it out on Shabbos. But yet, if there are two different versions, the versions must have some nafkamina. So the Gemara says, afei the nafkamina. Ika beinayhu v'tenifan. The difference between them is what happens if, let's say, these tichi chalilta, let's say these hollow woven braiding mechanisms, go ahead and become dirty. The tanifan, they become dirty. So the Gemara says, lahach lishna the Amr Koshu Arik Lo Gazru Hani Nami Aruk. It's according to the first version that says that really the determining factor is the material of which the braiding item is made from. So since this is a woven item, the fact that it's a little bit dirty is not going to change the situation. It wouldn't pose an issue for chatzitza for mikvah, and because of that, halacha lemaisa, she can wear it out on Shabbos. Ulahach lishna da amrit mishum kpeda. But according to the second version of Rahun Ber Devi Shor, what? Where he said that I saw my sisters were not makbid to take this out, then what? Kevan de tanifin makbid kpeda alayhu. If something would be dirty, then what we want to say, they would be makbid to take it out of their hair. So according to the second version, if it's all about hakpada, if it's all about what women are careful to remove from their hair, what they're not careful to remove from their hair, if something is dirty, a woman would be makbid to go out and move that with their hair. Therefore, according to that second version, if let's say the tichi chalulta was dirty, one would not be permitted to wear that out on Shabbos. Okay, Tanan Hasam. So the Gemara quotes, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says there the following. The Elu Chotzitzin Ba'adam. These are the items that create the chatzitza in a person. Good. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says it's all the way down in the wide lines of Rashi. The In Chotzitzin Ba'adam. The Elu Chotzitzin Ba'adam, excuse me, Rashi says, Mishum de Tani Hasam, Elu Chotzitzin Bekelim. Now remember, the Gemara here is quoting a Mishnah from Mikvaos. So the Mishnah Rashi says, just got finished telling us what are considered to be the interpositions, what are considered to be the chatzitzos by Kalim. Now the Mishnah says, what are the chatzitzos by Adam? Okay, so the Gemara says, for example, Mishnah says, chutei tzemer, strings of wool, chutei pishtan, strings of linen, v'haritzuos sheberashe habanos, and the straps that girls wear in their hair. Around their head. Rabbi Huda says, Shel tsemer v'shel seyar ein chotzitzin. Rabbi Huda says that strands that are made from wool and are made from hair do not create a chatzitza. Why? Mipnei shahamayim ba'in bahen. Because ultimately the water is able to go ahead and get through them. Rashi points out over here, Shel tsemer v'shel seyar ein chotzitzin delo mehadik agabe seyar. Because apparently they don't stick, they don't adhere to the hair in such a dramatic fashion that would not allow the water to get through. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Huna v'kulan berashe habanos shaminu, and Rav Huna says that all of these cases are talking about cases of these items in the hairs of girls. Rashi says, what does that mean? Habanos kitanos, right? That is talking about these are the things that were commonly worn in the hair of young girls. Maskif la Rav Yosef lemiute mai. So what does that mean? What exactly is Rav Huna coming to add over here? That all of these things are talking about things that girls wear in their hair. Okay? And if a woman decides to wear it, what does that mean? It's actually very interesting. So the Gemara says, Ilema lemiute ditzavar. So maybe you're talking about the fact that the only time that these particular strings are problematic is if a woman wears it in her hair. But if, let's say, she wears it around her neck, say like a type of necklace, she wears it around her neck, maybe that's not a problem. Let me utay the tzavar to tell you that again. If she wears it around her neck, it's not a problem. So the Gemara says the following: Udimai. So what are we talking about? Ilema lemi utay the tzemer. If you're telling me that it's coming to talk about strings of wool, so the Gemara says that can't be. You know why? Hashda rach agabe kasha chotzeitz. Because if you told me that the strings of tzemer, according to the Tanakhama, pose a problem when they are tied into a woman's hair, that's what we call rach agabe kasha, something soft on top of something hard. Right, the head is considered to be something hard, the wool is considered to be something soft, and yet again, it still poses a chatzitza problem. All the more so, rach agabe rach miboy, when it's something soft on top of something soft, is there even a kasha? So what does that mean over here? So what it's saying like this, that the assumption is when you tie something onto the hair or onto the head for that matter, it's a davar kasha. Which means that, what does it mean, davar kasha? What does it mean it's hard? It means when you wrap an item on there, it's hard to get the item to adhere in a very significant fashion for one simple reason, because it's almost like, it's going to sound strange, but the hair doesn't adhere back. As opposed to, the contrast will help explain this, as opposed to when you tie something on your neck or on your flesh for that matter, you could tie it tighter. Why? Because the skin, the flesh, gives. So because of that, there's a certain tightness that you could accomplish with a soft item like flesh that you wouldn't be able to accomplish with hair or with your head. So the Gemara says like this: if wool strings are going to pose a problem of chatzitza when tied onto something hard like hair or like the head, then all the more so it's going to pose a chatzitza problem when what? When what? When it's tied onto something soft like the flesh. Rather, it must come to exclude strands of pishtan of linen. So the Gemara says, "But I don't understand." Hashta kasha agabe kasha chotzeitz kasha agabe rachmi boy. So the Gemara says, "I don't understand." So it's difficult because again, bless you, pishtan, unlike pishtan, is considered to be a davar kasha. It's considered to be something hard. So if something hard on top of something hard poses a chatzitza, which is a reference to the strands of linen on top of hair, then all the more so strands of linen on flesh are going to pose a chatzitza. Rather, what does it mean? What does it mean, says the Gemara? What is Rav Huna's logic? What is Rav Huna's logic? Remember, Rav Huna was the one, just going back, Rav Huna's the one who qualified the Mishnah and said, this is all talking about where these strings are tied into the hair. But apparently, the Gemara is saying, according to Rav Huna, if they're tied onto the neck, then halacha lemaisa, so they won't pose the chatzitza. So the Gemara says, why not? So the Gemara gives a very simple klal, because a woman is not going to strangle herself. What does that mean? That when a woman ties these things, actually, no one argues, Baruch Hashem, right? So when a woman ties these things onto her neck, there's only so tight she's going to tie. Meaning when you tie something onto your hair, so the truth is you'll tie it as tight as possible. But a woman is tying something onto her neck, by definition, is always going to be a little bit of a give, because she's not going to go ahead and strangle herself. So because that says Rav Huna, just understand all of these things that pose chatzitza problems, that's only in the hair. But if she were to tie these very same things on her neck, because the assumption she's not going to tie it too tight, it doesn't pose a chatzitza issue. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Eisvei Abaye. So Abaye raises the contradiction. Habanos yotzos pechutin sheba osmehen. Women could go ahead and go out with the strings that are in their ears. Now, why would a woman have a string in her ear? So Rashi points out that if a woman pierced her ear, often, I guess before they had earrings, they didn't want the hole to close up. So what would you do? You would put a piece of string in the ear. So I guess it was common that a woman would walk around with this piece of string. So the Mishnah says, the Braisa says, that a woman could go out with this string in her ear, even on Shabbos. And again, I will say the logic over there actually is quite clear. Why could she go out with it? Because she's not going to come to take it out, because the whole chah of that string is to leave it in the ear. But she can't go out with the chavokin that are on her neck. Now, what does Rashi say? Chavokin, loshon kilkali v'chavok le'esor bosus. So it's actually interesting, the imagery that Rashi uses over here. So he literally says it's like reins. What does it mean? It means some kind of rope, some kind of, or it's an ornament of some type that she's wearing around her neck. Okay, lo bechavak shul sevrayim. So the Gemara says the following: Yi amrit ein isha chonekes atzma chavakin shebet sevrayhen amay lo. But the Gemara says, one second. If you just, and now remember, the assumption is that why can't she go out with this chavakin, right? Why can't she go out with this particular item wrapped around her neck? So again, we'll say if we tie this all together, the assumption is because again, anything, essentially the klal that's coming out is anything that a woman would have to remove before going to the mikvah, she can't wear out on Shabbos, out of fear that should the situation arise, she has to go to the mikvah, she may come to take it off and end up carrying it. But if you just said before, Rav Huna, if you're correct, that anything that a woman wears on her neck is never going to be too tight because the woman is not going to strangle herself, then the assumption is what? This item is tied around her neck in a looser fashion, which means that what? She would not have to remove it before going to the mikvah, which means that there should not be a concern that she may come to carry it, which therefore means that she should be able to wear it out on Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following, Amravina, Hacha, Amudbeis, Hacha, Bitak, Bekakla, Asura. Oh, what are we dealing with over here? With a katla. The Isha, Chonekes, Es Atzma. Because in this case, a woman does choke herself, so to speak. Now, I would say, what is this katla? Look at Rashi, it's actually very interesting. Rashi says, the katla skinon, beged choshuv litlos bitzavara, kineged liba, shelo yipol mashi ocheles al begadel. This is interesting, because whereas in the Mishnah, the katla seem to really just refer to a type of necklace. Rashi's referring to here, over here, more like what we call an ornamental bib. an ornamental bib, meaning it was often part of a woman's getup that she would go ahead and wear this type of bib that would go ahead and go over the front of her clothing in order that her clothing should not be, it's probably more almost like a bib type apron that she would wear over her clothing. V'yeshlo makom shenasim ke'en she'osim l'michnasayim v'tochev bo ritzua rechava u'molaltu saviv haritzua shaveged rachav harbei v'kosheres haritzua saviv tzavara. So what happens? How does she attach this bib? She ties this bib around her neck. Now what's the chapa? Look how Rashi ends. V'choneches atzma b'chozek. And she actually ties this bib very tight around her neck. Why? And this is quite amazing. K'dei shetehei b'sara boletes v'tira b'ilos basar. U'mitoch sharetzua chalaka v'ruchava ina mazikasa. So what happened about this? See, again, another interesting societal issue. In Chazal's time, in the times of the Gemara, so what was attractive was a woman who looked a little plump. Okay, right? who was a little chubby? Was a little. There's a word for it.
She had good
meatos. Rubenesque. Okay. Right, you get the point. Abala's buzzer. Right? Abala's buzzer. Right?
I didn't say anything.
Okay, good. All right. So the idea was Abala's buzzer. So one of the ways a woman would make herself look like Abala's buzzer was by pushing up the skin of her neck. Right, almost. What it does is it almost creates like a double chin. Nice. Almost creates like a double chin. So, all right. No more Rashi on this, please. All right, so now, it's interesting over here is the following. So the Gemara says that what is Rav Huna referring to? Rav Huna is referring to, under normal circumstances, you're right. Whatever a woman wears around her neck is not something she ties very tight, except that halacha l'maaseh, we're dealing over here with a particular garment that was dafka worn. Rashi points out the ritzuos were thick. So because if it was thin, then it would cut into her. If it's a little bit thicker, so you could tie it tighter, and she doesn't have to have any kind of discomfort about that. So because, again, this particular garment that's being described over here, dafka was worn to be tied tight to push up the flesh, then halacha l'maaseh, obviously that's the type of garment where if she were to go to a mikvah, she would have to go ahead and take it off, and therefore, again, she would not be permitted to wear it out on Shabbos. So the Gemara is just saying over here, the klal is still true, meaning under normal circumstances, anything that a woman wears on her neck would not pose a wearing out on Shabbos problem, because it wouldn't pose a mikvah problem. This is the exception, because in this particular garment, this kakla, was dafka made to be worn very tight, and therefore would pose a Shabbos problem. So Rashi is off by saying, Hacha b'katla, excuse me, the Gemara is off by saying, Hacha b'katla, skinon, v'isha choneches atzma, d'necha lei, shetira kebalos basar. Ultimately, she wears it very tight, in order that she looks a little bit like a balas, but a little bit heavier. Rabbi Yehuda Omer shel tzemer b'shel se'ar in chotetzin b'pnei shamayim ba'in b'hem. So remember again, Rabbi Yehuda in the brisa that we just mentioned before. The Mishnah from the Kvos said, Tanakama said that the item that creates a chatzitza are the chutei tzemer, chutei pishtan, and ritzuos shel rashi avaros. Rabbi Yehuda came along and said that the strings of tzemer and seyar do not go ahead and pose any kind of chatzitza problem. So now the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rav Yehuda v'chutei seyar. The halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda with strands made of hair. So we'll say apparently what would happen is they would make these type of ribbons out of human hair. So if she was using ribbons of hair to go ahead and tie her hair, says the Gemara, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, that it does not create a chatzitza issue. Amar le Abaye, halacha michlal de pligi. Abaye says, well, the fact that she needs to tell me that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda indicates that what? That somebody argues on it. So the Gemara says, v'chi teima, ilav deshame mitanakama, de'ayri bechute se'ar, ihu nami lo havamari. So maybe you'll say that the only reason Rabbi Yehuda addressed chutei seyar was because the Tanakhama brought up chutei seyar first. V'dilma kishim ka'amar lohu kihechi demaldisu li bechutei seyar odu li nami bechutei tzemer. And maybe you'll say that Rabbi Yehuda says that the same way that you agree with me with chutei seyar, agree with me with chutei tzemer. So what's interesting, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is the following. that the way that Braisa works is the Tanakhama doesn't talk about Chutei Sear. Right? The Tanakhama in the Mishnah Mikvos just says that Chutei Tzemer and Chutei Pishtar, right? That strands or strings of wool and strings of linen pose a chatzitza. Rabbi Huda comes along and says that strands of Tzemer and strands of Sear do not pose a chatzitza issue. Now, the Gemara comes along and says the halacha follows Rabbi Huda. The Sear. Now, what's interesting is the following. Now, no one else talks about Sear except Rabbi Yehuda. So the truth is, had the Gemara not said anything, I would have assumed that everybody agrees with Rabbi Yehuda by Sear. So the Gemara says, the fact that you tell me that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda indicates that what? That Rabbi Yehuda is about machlokes. Somebody is disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda. So maybe the Gemara says, maybe you'll see like this. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda says to the Tanakhama, the same way that you agree with me with Chutei Sear, agree with me with Chutei Tzemer. So the Gemara says the following: Keichi demodisa li b'chutei se'ar odlim b'chutei tzemar itzmar amar Nachman amar Shmuel modin chachamim Rabbi Yehuda b'chutei se'ar. So the Gemara says Ein achinam Rabbi Nachman says the name of Shmuel that the chachamim actually agree with Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to chutei se'ar. They agree with the fact that chutei se'ar does not pose a chatzitza. Tanya nami hachi. We have a brisa that supports this. Chutei se'ar chotetzin. Chutei tzemar chotetzin. Chutei Sear in Chotetzin. So the Braisa says that strands made of hair do not pose a chatzitza, but strings strings made of wool do pose a chatzitza, but strings made of hair do not pose a chatzitza. Rabbi Huda Omer shel tzemer v'shel sear in Chotetzin. Rabbi Huda says it's not just sear, but also strands. Strings made of tzemer also don't pose a chatzitza. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak masnisin nami deka. Our Mishnah seems to support this as well. Viktani. Isha bechute sear be mishal chaverter. So we'll see this Mishnah later on. A woman could go out on Shabbos with strings made of hair that are braided in her hair, whether those strings are from her hair or from someone else's hair. So once again, the logic would seem to be based on the fact that because it wouldn't pose the chatzitza by mikvah, therefore there's no fiddish going to come to take it out. So Gemara says, money, whose opinion does this reflect? Ilema Rabbi Yehuda, if it's Rabbi Yehuda, afilu chutei tzemer nami. Rabbi Yehuda, remember, would allow her to go out even with chutei tzemer, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, chutei tzemer don't pose a chatzitza issue either. Alalav Rabbanon hi. Rather, it must be the opinion of the Rabbanon. Ushmamina bechutei ser lo pligi shmamina. And learn from here that that's Rabbo saying that the Rabbanon don't dispute Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to chutei ser, and everybody will agree that chutei ser don't pose a chatzitza. No problem for the mikvah. And again, using our logic, if no problem for the mikvah, then what? No problem with wearing them out on Shabbos, because no concern that a woman may come to take them out and carry them down the Amos and Shusaravim. Lo b'totefes. She can't wear a totefes. So the Gemara says, my totefes. What is a totefes? The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, chumarta diktifasa. It's helpful. Right, so good. So, right, chumarta diktifasa. Rashi says, diktifta. Rashi says, kesher, sha'osin l'refuos, kitof ayin hara, shelo tishla. This is interesting. So Rashi, so the Gemara says over here, Rav Yosef suggests, chumarta diktifta, Rashi says, is kesher sha'osin l'refuos. It's something that people would wear around their neck, like for a fool, for medicinal healing purposes. I'm really Abai says, once again, if that's the case, v'tehevi ki kamiya, mumcha, why don't you say that it's like a proven kamiya? V'tishtar, and I've also remember we spoke about the kamiya before. The kamiya is an amulet. It's an amulet, and people wore amulets for all different kinds of reasons. One of them was for either to ward off sickness, to heal them from sickness. There was what's called the kamiya mumcha. Remember also we saw this. We saw this because the Gemara before I've spoken about the fact that if you have a kamiya that has been proven to work for people, it doesn't automatically mean it's proven to work for animals. But so you're permitted to go out on Shabbos with the kamiya mumcha. We're not going to get into that, but if a kamiya is proven to work, if the kamiya is proven to work, you can go out on Shabbos because the assumption is you won't come to take it off. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So if you're telling me that this totefes is a chomarta diktifta, something worn for medicinal purposes, then you should be able to wear it out the same way that you could wear a proven kamiya out. Amar Rav Yehuda, you're right. Mishpeh d'Abaye, it's something different. Apuzainu. That what is this totefes? It's an apuzainu. Look at Rashi. What's an apuzainu? Frontio shalzav. What we call a frontlet. It's something that's worn on the forehead of a woman. So the Braisa supports this. What does the Braisa say? Isha yotza bisavcha hamizuheves ubitotefes ubisarvit in hakavua ba. A woman could go out with a savcha. A savcha, we're going to see, is a type of hat. A woman could go out with a savcha hamizuheves. So savcha hamizuheves, we're going to see, is a type. Literally, it means a cap or a hat that has gold interwoven into it. Ubitotefes, and with a totefes, ubisarvitin hakavuan ba. And with a totefes or sarvitin that are attached, that are sewn into this savcha. Ezo totefes veezo sarvitin. What is a totefes and what is a sarvitin? Am Rabbi Avo, totefes, hamukafes la mi ozen la ozen. You know what a totefes is? You know what this is like? If you want just the mental image, it's like the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. The same way that a Kohen Gadol wore this piece of gold on his forehead, that is the totefes, right? It's actually interesting. Lots of totefes also. So it is this golden plate that a woman would wear on her forehead that's extended from ear to ear. Okay. Ve'ezo sarvitin. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Ezo tefes ezovitin. All right, totefes hamukefes hami ozen la ozen. Sarvitin hamagian la ad lechayo. So apparently, sarvitin was a little bit different. Whereas totefes just went across her entire forehead from ear to ear, sarvitin went across the forehead but also extended down towards the cheekbones. Okay? So you must define. Amar Rav Huna, anios osin osa shal minei tzivonin, ashiros osin osa shal kesef shal zav. So the poor women would make these totafos out of colored thread, and the rich women would go ahead and make these totafos out of gold and out of silver. So what the Mishnah seems to say is that halacha l'maisa, according to the Mishnah, a woman may not wear these particular things out. Why? Because these were items that a woman would often go ahead and take off and show her friend. Therefore, there was a concern that a woman may come to transport it down at Amazon or Shisarabim. The lo b'kavul, she can't go out with a kavul. So the Gemara says, Amar Abganai, kavul ze eni odeya, I kavla da'avda t'nan. So Rabbi Yannai says the following. This kavul, I'm not sure what it is. Because on one hand, maybe it's kavlo da'avda. Maybe it's the type of hat that servants wear. Look at Rashi says, kavlo da'avda. I'm sorry, not a cap here. Rashi says, chosam sh'osam le'eved b'ksuso, l'simen hu'chacha shu'eved, u'ba'ahu katoni masnisen d'shivcha lo teitzebo. Maybe the kavlo that we're talking about over here was actually more of like a patch, like an insignia, that often servants would wear to signal themselves as servants, to identify themselves as servants. So maybe the Mishnah is talking about a shivcha, telling us that a shivcha may not go out with this item on Shabbos, or aval kipa shel tzemer shapir dami, but a regular, what we'll call a woolen hat, that a woman would wear, would be permitted. Now, I'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Kipa shel tzemer, Rashi says, kikova shetachas hasovcha, demikrinami kavol umiskashet esbo. Now, what the Gemara is referring to over here is this kippah shel tzemer was apparently a woolen-like cap that a woman would wear underneath her primary headgear. So a woman might wear something more ornate on top of her head, but she had this woolen cap that she would wear directly on top of her hair. So maybe says Rav Yannai, maybe that's permitted on Shabbos. Why? Because a woman is not going to go ahead and take that off in Rosh Hashanah because it would be uncovering her hair in public. Old Dilma, or perhaps the other possibility is kippah shel tzemer tanan, or maybe it's actually referring to the actual kippah shel tzemer. Maybe it's referring to the actual woolen hat. The chol shekein kavla da'avda, and all the more so the eved can't go out with his kavla or her kavla. Amar Rabbi Avo, mistabro kimando amar kippah shel tzemer tanan. It would seem to be that the Mishnah is referring to this woolen cap. Why? What does the Braisa say? The tanya nami hachi yotza isha bikavul ubiistema lochazer. A woman could go out with her kavul and with her istema into the chatzer. Okay, we'll see exactly what these items are in just a moment. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, af bekavul Rosh Sarabim. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says she could even wear her kavul out into Rosh Sarabim. Klal, Omer Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Rabbi Shimon Elazar espoused the following rule. Kol shehu lemata min asavcha yotzin bo. Anything that is below the savcha. Now, savcha is a hat. Anything that is underneath a woman's hat, a woman is permitted to wear out on Shabbos. Kol shehu lemala min asavcha, eino yotzin bo. But anything that is above the hat, a woman may not go out of it. Now, what does that mean? What is Rav Shimon Elazar saying? Rav Shimon Elazar is saying like this, that halacha l'maaseh, anything below the hat, anything above the hat, the concern is what? A woman may come to take that off in Rosh Hashanah, they may come to show it to her friends, they may come to carry it. Anything below the hat, right, a woman is not going to take off in Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because that would necessitate her uncovering her hair. And where she might do that in her house, she's not going to do that in Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, again, there's no fear of allowing her to walk out wearing these items. So the Gemara says, my istima, what is this istima? What is this istima? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Avo, bizyoni. Rabbi Yonah says, it's a bizyoni. My bizyoni, okay, what's a bizyoni? Amar Abai, Amar Rav, kalya peruchi. Look at Rashi, kalya peruchi. Mitznefes kitana, la'acher kishureha, shekolas rosha, v'kisisa, yesh saros kitanos, sheyotzin chutz l'kishureha, v'hein nikroin peruchi, al shemafrichin, v'yotzin l'chutz, v'ogdosan l'tachas kishureha, aide mitznefes kitzara. So I said, this is interesting. So apparently women often braided their hair. But what ends up happening is when a woman braided her hair, there would be stray hairs that would still come out. So a woman often wore this particular scarf to catch, to tie up the stray hairs. That's the Gemara's calling. This is the istima. So the istima is this scarf that a woman would wear to catch the stray hairs. All right, well, so you know what? We'll stop over here for today. By this Tanur Rabbanan. Good. So, yeah,